Well, Father, I surely do thank you, and I give you all praise, honor, and glory this morning. I thank you, Father God, for our dreams and our visions that you give us to encourage us, to uplift us, and build up our faith, Father. And Father, as each and every person sits in this building this day, it's Father's Day. But Father God, we're not honoring that day, we're honoring you. And then as we honor you, then the fathers are honored, Father. And Father God, we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, also, I've been reading prophetic word after prophetic word where God is calling the men back into the house of God, and he's calling the men to minister. The women are going to minister too, but, you know, I always think it's wonderful when a good, godly man who is not in sin is standing behind a pulpit, who's living for God 100%, who's standing behind the pulpit leading and guiding God's people. God created Adam first, not Eve. All right. And I know if you read the Word, there was women pastors in the Word. I know that. And I'm not saying anything about women pastors because I am one. All right. But what I'm saying is, it's time the men stepped up to the plate. It's time the men put away their pornography and all the junk that they're doing. Their perversions, their drinking, their drugs. And they become men of God, like God created you to be. Men want to be honored, but they don't want to do what it takes to be honored. They want to be seen and glorified. And I'm sorry, but I'm not going to glorify a man who is not living for God. I encourage you to live for God. Because God wants the very best. You to have the very best, but you have to work that out. You hear me? You have to work that out. I can't work it out for you. Your wife can't. God can't. I mean, he could, but he won't. Men, you have to become men. True men. And yet, quit whimpering and complaining about every time your wife looks at you cross-eyed. God never looks at you cross-eyed. You're not supposed to look at your circumstances. You're supposed to keep your eyes upon Jesus. And God's not going to take any excuses when you stand before him why you couldn't be a true man of God. Happy Father's Day. really and truly, if you aren't instructed, how are you ever going to change? And men, the ones that come to the lighthouse, you need to change. You're not where you should be with God. God told me you're not walking in the Spirit the way you ought, and that's why your family's having so much trouble. You see, somebody has to change. Well, my wife needs to change. My kids need to change. The neighbors need to change. No, you need to change. Teresa Ann, she was in a sick bed. She got out of a sick bed, went to Dover, bought some calla lilies because I love those things. Come home, bought a vase, came home and made me a bouquet. And she brought it into my bedroom. And she said, Happy Father's Day. She's good. You're the father of the house. Absolutely beautiful. I think it's the best arrangement she's ever made for me. But, you know, that meant a lot to me because she took everything she had to do what she did. So, what are you guys doing really for your families? Should they really be honoring you? Are you really Jesus? I don't think so. I think everybody in here, all you guys, you have areas in your life that you need to clean up. You know that, and God knows that. And believe it or not, your wife and the people around about you know that too. Amen. This is the best Father's Day sermon you could ever hear. It'll change you into the image of Jesus or chase you away. I don't know which it'll do. It'll do something, though. It'll change you in some way. I'm excited because God told me, we're starting on the service now. I'm excited because years ago, whenever God was instructing me in the ways he wanted me to go, he said to me, daughter, always watch for the thunder and the lightning. He said, when you see the thunder and the lightning, you know that I am on the scene. So let's just start this morning. It's the Father's glory, thundering throne room of God. Revelation 4. Verse 2 says, after this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and pearl. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. Now, thunder represents new revelation that could save God's people, his own church, from the great tribulation and eternal death. So we're seeing new revelation, right? So that's the thunder. Lightning is a light from God's throne room. God has been inviting us to come up hither and get into the light, and in that light, he wants to teach us. Now, God's very elect see the lightning and hear the thunder. You know, God's been saying this, don't you hear the wind? And then he said to me the other day, the thunder and lightning is coming. Watch for the thunder and the lightning. The thunder and lightning is here. God has given us revelation, and the light of his word is coming forth. All right? Revelation does not come from man. It comes from God's throne. The book of Malachi is a thunder of eternal judgment, and so many people are going to lose their eternal lives right now. The biggest danger we face is being ho-hum about this thunder and lightning because we have received so much of it. And God's told you, men and women who are writing, that he's going to give you revelation and just pour it into you, and it'll come out into your books. And but are you really sitting down and writing your book so God can give you that revelation to write the books? You know, you have to be sitting down in the presence of God saying, I'm ready to write before he can give you your book, right? That's the way I think, anyhow. All right, what did God tell John in Revelation chapter 1? Revelation chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. There's, I think, two that I know of in this church are being taken out of their body and having out-of-body experiences. Now, when the two shared that with me, I thought, God, why aren't the rest having out-of-body experiences? You know, if you're truly, truly saturated with your love for God, you can sit right in this service, go out in the Spirit, not hear a word that's being said in the service, spend your whole time in the Spirit, and not come out of the Spirit until after everybody's left. I say that because I used to experience that all the time. I never knew what was going on. I never heard what was going on. I just went out in the Spirit. One time, Brother Chris stood around me because he was at a bigger church, and he didn't want anybody to step on me. And you know, we went up front to praise, I guess. I forgot why we went up there. But it was the beginning of the service, and I just went out in the Spirit, and I didn't know anything. When I came to out of the Spirit, the pastors were going in the back room for a luncheon, which I was invited to too, but I was so caught up in the Spirit. I said, I'm not going back there and eat. Chris and I left, and I just stayed in the Spirit. One other time I was at a church, and God told me, he said, I want you to go out and lay down there in the aisle, because it was a theater. And I laid down, and the pastor told me to sit down. I said, no, I got to do what God tells me to do. I wasn't the pastor then. And the minute I walked out there, I don't remember laying down. I deliberately laid down, but I had a rug burn on my elbow when I came to. But I stayed out the whole service. Never heard a word. So if you're laying on the floor and you're hearing everything, are you really in the Spirit? This is what I'm getting at. Are you really in the Spirit if you're hearing everything that's going on around about you? I don't know if you are or not, but every time I went out in the Spirit, I never heard anything. Even when I'd go to churches and come up to the altar and pull out the Spirit, I never heard a thing. I didn't know anything until I come out of the Spirit and got up. So I want you to think about, are you truly in the Spirit? And you could be. But I want you to seek your face. I don't want you to be kidding yourself. You know, right? You know, one pastor I was under, her mother sat at her kitchen table every morning, had her cup of tea, and read her Bible. Well, this one morning, she had her cup of tea and her Bible, went out in the Spirit, stayed out in the Spirit 3 days. Nobody could go anywhere near the kitchen. They couldn't get into the kitchen because the glory of God was there. And she didn't know anything was going on around about her, but she was in heaven. She knew what went on in heaven, and she shared what went on in heaven. But she didn't hear or anything around about her. I don't know really why I'm telling you all this. This is not my notes. So some of you in here, you might be fooling yourself, thinking you're in the Spirit, and you're really not. You're just laying there, you know. And when you lay down in the Spirit, you fall asleep, you're not in the Spirit, you're just tired. All right? So don't say, well, I was out in the Spirit, and I didn't hear anything. Well, if you're snoring or going on, you're not in the Spirit. And there's nothing wrong with being tired. No, I'm not putting you down for that. But God told me people aren't walking in the Spirit the way you ought. And I'm just sharing you this about what goes on in the Spirit. And if you're going to walk deceived all the time, you're never going to receive everything God has for you. All right? Revelation 1:17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen and the things which are and the things which will take place after this. See, he's telling him, write something down. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. See, every church has an angel of their own. And the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. So every church, we have our own angel that keeps guard over us, all right? Now, God said, you have entered into the times of my thunderings and lightnings. You have entered into a dispensation of time where I shall surely thunder from my holy mountain, Mount Zion. You will hear me say, this is the way, walk ye in it. And Isaiah 30:21 says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. We need to be hearing that voice. Yeah, we need, you know, when we're walking and doing our things, we need to hear God say, this is the way. You might be going the wrong way. And he might say, this is the way. So you have to turn and go the way God's telling you. This is very imperative time right now that we're walking in. And if we don't hear God's voice and do everything he's telling us to do, we could be going in the wrong direction. Then God says, my children, from this night forth, you must at all costs follow my voice very carefully, for I will be giving you revelation from my heavenly throne room. See that? This is the end time dispensation of time, and a brand new era has come up before you. And because of this brand new era, I will be giving you brand new revelation of what is to come and how to proceed in it. Now let's stop there. Now you guys have to say amen to that. Because with what's going on in the world today has not gone on before. So we can't go back and say, well, this is what they did before, because it was never done before. So we're going to have revelation from God from now on so we can walk each and every day in what we're walking in. Are you understanding this? All right, God said, many will fall away at this given time, and the apostasy has already begun. But as you listen to my new revelations, you will become more sure-footed, and you will not be among those who have fallen and will fall. God said, this new era carries with it much condemnation for those who sit in my houses and refuse to walk in the truth. There will be those who have been hearing the lie, but refuse to admit it has been a lie. Do not be one of those. The fallacy that once saved, always saved, is so wrong on many fronts. My word tells you to walk out your own salvation. And Philippians 2:12 says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. God wants to be in each one of us to fulfill his purpose in our lives. We don't give God the opportunity to be in us to fulfill his purpose in our life because we're too busy fulfilling the desires of our flesh. All right? God said, just as the Israelite children heard my voice thundering on Mount Sinai, as I gave Moses my Ten Commandments, you shall also be partaker of these thunderings and lightnings. I've got to stop here because somebody that's in here saying, well, I know Mount the Spirit, I hear God's voice. Well, that's great. See, somebody in here is thinking that. You do what you think, you know, what's right. And if it's wrong, God's going to tell you. If it's right, then you'll know it's right. I was just trying to teach you something. A lot of people go out in the Spirit and they see a lot of visions. I don't do that, but that doesn't make say it's not right. You know, I know why I don't do that, because God's answered that to me. But I'm not even going to tell you now because you've been snotty right now. I'm just going to keep that to myself. All right, now in Exodus 19, 4 through 6, Israel was receiving some revelation. Not all of it was new, but some was. You yourselves, this is Exodus 19, 4 through 6. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. This is you guys. This is us. God gives us revelation knowledge that he wants us to speak to somebody else. Why do you sit in the house of God if you don't want to be different and unique? Why do you waste your time coming here instead if you just want to stay blah? Because God's children are not blah. They are hyper, they're full of activity, they're in excitement because God is always speaking something new. I was sitting at my desk this morning, adding up some stuff in an adding machine, but thinking about somebody else, and God said, it's cancerous. Just like that. You know, but I wasn't praying. I was just thinking. And you know, and I was adding up some figures. God will let you know. He'll talk to you anytime. If you're really his child, he will talk to you anytime he wants to, no matter what you're doing. And he will tell you something that's on your heart. All right? Well, I got to get spiritual here. I got to sit down here and, you know, and fold my hands and get put the veil over my face and all this other kind of stuff. You know, come on, that's religious stuff. What you need to do is just stay in the presence of God 24/7, and then God can speak to you anytime he wants to. All right? Israel was to be a kingdom of priests spiritually, and that's why God gave them Exodus 19, 4 through 6. We are supposed to be a kingdom of priests spiritually also. And God wants to speak to each one of you sitting in here, and he wants to give you revelation knowledge. Now, whether you receive it or not is a different story, but he does want to give it to you. Exodus 19:16 says, on the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. This is when God showed up for Moses. There was thundering light. When God is in everything you read in the word, when God's presence, a thundering and lightning happens. This thunder and lightning been happening lately. One day when night I went out the porch, I said, God, is that you? I mean, it was just a thunder and a lightning all over the place, you know. Remember that the other night? You know, he could have been out there, you know. But it was cracking and a popping. And that's how our God is. He's a cracking or popper. He just loves excitement. Amen. Come on. We need to get out of our death. That's why I played that song, Rattle. We need to get our bones need to come alive. You know, I know the music was loud and sort of, you know, guitarish, but you need to become alive. One thing about the music that's coming out, we have to be careful too that it doesn't get too head banging type music, you know. I don't like it when they separate, swish your hair back and forth. That's, you know. I think that's gone a bit too far. But, you know, we have to be careful that our next thing you know, we'll be out there with worldly music in the house of God. All right? I lost my place. See, you guys got me all befuddled here this morning. I can't keep my place because God spoke to you about getting yourself together. All right, God wants us to tremble before His Word. Spiritual thunder and lightning should have the same impact on us. Exodus 19:17 says, "Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently." And when God shows up, boy, everything changes, doesn't it? The whole atmosphere changes. God was giving Israel the Ten Commandments. What was He trying to achieve with accompanying thunder and the lightning? He was trying to get those people to realize that this was not from a man, but from the great Creator of mankind. And when God told me years ago, watch for the thunder and the lightning, He said it with such power and authority, I knew it was something very, very important that I had to keep watching for. Just like He said, to be earthquakes over the land, but watch for it. The, and He emphasized the, you know, earthquake. And so, you know, we haven't seen the earthquake yet, but it's coming. Spiritually, new revelation today should have a much greater impact on our lives than physical thunder and lightning. Why? Because it has eternal consequences. Then God said, "You will be held accountable for every word I speak to you from this night forward, for I'm surely going to be sending forth my word with great power and might." I was going to give this in the evening, but I decided to give it in the morning. That's what God was saying at night, okay? "You will hear my voice booming in your ears, and you will hear my instructions very clearly. You will not be able to stand before me and say, 'I did not hear you, Lord, for I'm speaking very clearly and loudly.'" Now, that's different because He was saying He was coming with a still, small voice. And now He's saying with His thunder and lightning, He's going to be speaking very loudly. Jesus looked around. This is God speaking again. "Just look around about you. Do you not hear my voice and what is going on in the world? Do you not hear my voice in the White House? Do you not hear my voice in the abortion clinics? The reason you are not hearing is because you're not listening." All right. "Because I have been quiet for a season, all think I am not seeing. I am an all-seeing and all-knowing Father. I see all things. I know all things. I see the disarray in my houses. I see the sin in the pulpits. I see the mixture of my word. I know the true hearts of the fathers and mothers. I see and know all things. I see you hiding under the rock of offense. I see you peeking through the cloud, wondering if I am watching. See, I know you inside out because I wonderfully made you. There is no place you can go to hide from me. Absolutely no place." And Jeremiah 23:24 says, "Who can hide in the secret places so that I cannot see them, declares the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord." There's no, like God told me one time, "Who are you hiding from? I see everything that you do." But I ate a little peanut. But, you know, He said, "Who are you hiding from?" And you know, that made me stop and think, you know, God sees everything I do. Amen? Come on. You think you're hiding from Him, but He sees you. Jeremiah 25:35 said, "The shepherds will have nowhere to flee, the leaders of the flock, no place to escape." Pastors and leaders and evangelists, you better get it together because God sees all, knows all, and there's nowhere you can go to get out of His sight. God said, "When you stand before me on judgment day, there will be no excuses. In fact, you will stand speechless before your Maker. You will understand then who I truly am. Will it be too late? Only you know that answer. This night I am thundering once again from my holy mountain, and I am saying, come up hither as I did to Moses, and I will share my secrets with you just as I did with Moses. Moses was curious, and he found me in that need." Because that's what Moses did. He wanted to go see what that fire was all about, right? "Are you just as curious as Moses? Then you will find me if you are. You will find me in every facet of life. You will look around you and you will see me in the homeless, the exploited, the downtrodden, the economy, in the government. You will see me as I truly am, all sufficient. Don't be like the Israelite children. And in Exodus 20:18 says, when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. God was getting their attention. You know, not too long ago, God said, daughter, listen for the trumpet, because the trumpet's about to blow. There's so many, if you really, God speaks to you all the time. And then what we have to do is, like he says, listen, then listen. Listen for the sounds that he says are coming. Then God said, I am speaking from my holy mountain, and I am roaring out of Zion. Do you have ears to hear? Do you have ears to hear my end time revelations and still be able to stand and run with a message to save the lost and dying world? All right, you too, Barbara and Alan, as God's been giving all this revelation to, are you sending it to other people? Are you telling other people about what God's showing you? You know? Even Grace, are you're sharing? I mean, I know you share with me, but are you sharing with other people what, you know, what God is showing you? What you three have that have been sharing with me, you have deep revelation knowledge that really needs to be gotten out there into the world so other people you can understand it also. In Joel 3:16, the Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The earth and the heavens will tremble, but the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel. All right, you know, with you, Barbara, you have the aglow with some of the revelation. Maybe God wants you to use that as to share with the aglow meetings. You know, and so you're making up your own little whatever agenda. You know, say, this is what God has revealed to me, right? And then God said, my children, how I wish you had more discernment. How I wish you were so on fire for me that you say, Father, take me to the mountaintop as you did Moses and give me end time revelations to share with my brothers and sisters. How I wish you were burning deep inside with revelation knowledge you receive from me and not man, and you could not wait to run with it. In other words, instead of listening to what man has to say, you should have revelation from God. God told me when I was first, about a year after he called me into ministry, he says, as I was with Moses, I will be with you all the days of your life. And really and truly, as I read Moses, he did wonderful things with Moses. What a wonderful word from the Father to encourage you to go forth. Right? Habakkuk 2:2. And then God answered, write this. Write what you see. Write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. This vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait, and it doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It will come right on time. Whatever God speaks you is going to come on God's timing, not yours. And God said, just as my servant Habakkuk cried out to me, and I heard, I have also heard your cries, and I have come with my might and my power to destroy the works of sin, and I'm going to use you to be the messenger to destroy that sin nature in my peoples. So, okay, you call a person that speaks the truth negative. Right here, Habakkuk had to go speak the truth to the people so they could get out of their sin. How are you going to get out of your sin if nobody tells you you're in sin? Right? I mean, some people are blind to the fact that they're on their way to hell. They really are. And, you know, or they think they're going to heaven and they really aren't. And unless God has somebody he can send to them to tell them, they're not going to end up very good. All right. Habakkuk 1:2-3 says, how long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. If you're a true pastor, you'll be saying that to God too. I've been preaching the same word I say to God. You've had me teach this over and over and over again. He said, they still haven't gotten it. So if we're still hearing the same message over and over again, there's some that haven't gotten it. And God's long-suffering, and you have to suffer right along with us, right? Anyhow, I think hearing something over and over again gets it embedded in your spirit, and it's always there. God says, do not look at their faces, but keep your eyes on the prize and march on with a deep revelation I am sending your way. So it doesn't matter how they look at you, Grace, you just have to go ahead and tell them, right? Sometimes I sit in my room, I said, God, do I really have to go out there and tell them this? Have you ever done that? You know, I really don't want to go tell them this. You know, I really don't. But God will keep at me. Are you going to do this thing? Go do it. You know, you have to do it. You can't escape God. All right, Jeremiah 1, 8 through 10 and then 7, it says, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. Barbara says it all the time. God told me to do it. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. See what he's doing? Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified of them, or I will terrify you before them. See what happens if you don't tell the people? Job 37, verse 2 says, listen carefully to the thunder of God's voice. That was old Job. Listen carefully to the thunder of God's voice as it rolls from his mouth. It rolls across the heavens, and his lightning flashes in every direction. Then comes the roaring of the thunder, the tremendous voice of his majesty. He does not restrain it when he speaks. God's voice is glorious in the thunder. We can't even imagine the greatness of his power. He directs the snow to fall on the earth and tells the rain to pour down. Then everyone stops working so they can watch his power. The wild animals take cover and stay inside their dens. The stormy wind comes from his chamber, and the driving winds bring the cold. God's breath sends the ice, freezing wide expanses of water. He loads the clouds with moisture, and they flash with his lightning. The clouds churn about at his direction. They do whatever he commands throughout the earth. We have to tell the people what God is telling us to tell them. Period. We can't. God's office and they quit looking at their faces. You just tell them what I say. You just say what I'm telling you. And that's what I do. And whether you like it or not, I always tell the people, take it to God. Don't bring it to me. I'm the messenger. You take it to God. He's the sender, right? Come on. Some of you walk in fear and you won't tell because you're afraid of what they'll call you. They'll call you all kind of names just like they did Jesus. You know? One thing to call you is crazy and demonic. Believe me, they'll do that very quickly. I know. I'm getting ready to make a spectacle of myself, and I want to incorporate you into this spectacle. Are you committed to coming to the mountaintop and receiving my new revelations for this dispensation of time? Think about this. Are you so comfortable in your lackadaisical life that you don't want nothing to disturb your comfort? I mean, when you really walk with God, you don't have comfort, because God always has you in some sort of battle. I mean, and that's living. You're sitting around doing nothing is not living. It just isn't. I've lost my place. All right. He said, receiving my new revelations for this dispensation of time. Think about what happened in the past. Moses led Israel. Then Joshua followed him. Two great leaders. But within one generation after Joshua died, Israel had lost the Feast of Tabernacles. The same is true today. The great revivalists have come on home, and there are not many to carry on my message of holiness and righteousness. Why don't one of you carry one of those mantles or those that went on home? Come on. You just don't want your little life disturbed. Well, God won't disturb you. He really won't. But if you truly are a child of God and truly said to God, here I am, use me, then God is trying to use you, but eventually he will leave you because he's found out that you lied to him. You didn't really want to be used. I don't know about you, but I just don't want to sit and warm a seat, do you? I really don't. I didn't ask for anything I have. I really wanted to just sit and warm a seat, but God said, that's not your lot in life. But I hope each one of you in here know that is just sitting doing nothing is not your lot in life. When God calls you, or you say, God, here I am, use me, or give your heart to him, at that point, God already has your life all planned out for him. He wants to use you. Just don't get saved and end it there. Start working for God and doing the things that he's calling you forth to do. Matthew 17:10 says, the disciples asked Jesus, why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? And Jesus replied, to be sure Elijah comes and will restore all things. In Matthew 11:20-24, Jesus and John the Baptist. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Here's John the Baptist, who leaped in his mother's womb when he met Jesus in his mother's womb, and he knew that Jesus, he baptized him, knew who Jesus was. He's in jail now. Now he's questioning, are you really Jesus? That happens right now, today, on this earth, to born-again people who have been in church, love God with all their heart, but all of a sudden, the enemy is trying to make you believe what you believe is not true. All right, so this is Jesus' reply back to John. Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. I truly tell you, among those born of women, there has not been anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and the violent people have been raiding it or taking it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept that he is the Elijah who was to come, whoever has ears, let him hear. Now, we are a forerunner church. We are preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus. Right into my ministry, when I moved here, everybody came against me, the churches did, and God gave me this scripture. You know, what did you go out to see? Because the pastors came in here to see what I was doing. And then he told me, he says, then what did you go out to see? Verse 9. A prophet? Yes, I tell you, more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. That is what he's done. He sent this church ahead of the lost and dying to prepare the way for them to hear the truth and to prepare the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. That is what we are here for. I'm not here to be swayed by man's opinion. I wouldn't even have to be here. I could have a big church. I could have a paycheck. I could have everything if I would only change my message and not preach repentance. But I don't live in a palace. I don't wear royal clothes. And I preach a hard gospel. Are you willing to suffer for Christ's sake? In other words, are you willing to pay the price it takes and to have people turn their back on you and talk about you? to serve God? Are you willing to give up all your dreams and all your visions to serve God? Because that's what it's going to take. You can no longer have your own dreams and your own visions because your life is totally, completely sold out to God, and you do what He's calling you to do. I was reading, I don't want to get caught up here. I was reading about somebody, I forgot, Merle Crothers was writing, wrote his little letter about love. But, you know, there was a person that I really have a hard time with. And every time I hear about love, up pops his name. And Merle Crothers says that you cannot have aught against anybody. So up popped this name. So I went to God and I repented. And all was well with my soul. But before all was well with my soul, I was being eaten alive by, I won't go into that anymore, but I'm telling you, you cannot come against anybody. If you're going to follow Jesus, you have to love everybody, especially the unlovable in your eyes. God loves everybody. Nobody's unlovable in His eyes. All right? So God, y'all know, God walked me through that. The situation did not change. I changed. My attitude changed. I didn't want to lose my salvation because of one person. Are you understanding this? And if you can't love your husband or your wife, you're not a child of God. You're not. If you can't love your children, you're not a child of God. Look, you know, God said He's our father, our mother, our sister, our brother, and He loves us with all of our flaws and all of our imperfections. I'm sorry, but when you marry somebody, you don't know them. You only know what they put out there. But after you marry them, you oh, wow, look at this here bag of worms. But you know what? It got to work you through it. Got to work you through it. Moni Nancy, say yes. Thank you. Got to work you through it. But the problem is you don't want to walk in love. You don't want to walk it through it. You just want everything to be hunky-dory. It's not like that. You know, it is in a certain situation if both of you are following God and both your hearts are right. If you got all kind of demons running around in there, your hearts are never right. Are you listening to that? And you won't ever be happy because you can't function. They're not there, are they, Alan? The demons are causing you to function, do the things you're doing, and you've got to get that out of there so that you can be you and God can place love in you. I'm just going to say this, though, too, right now. If you're married and you really place that marriage in God's hands, God will work all things out for your good. He really will. Now, if you went out and picked up somebody you shouldn't have picked up with, then that's your problem. And you're going to have to walk through that with God. But, you know, if you know that you married, you were equally yoked, and the devil doesn't want to see anybody happy. Don't you understand that yet? He fights you tooth and nail. And I'm going to get off of that because I could do a whole teaching on it. So we'll just get back to my Okay. All right. So there. Okay. So I said about God. He called us to be Second John, Second John the Baptist. Then I said, therefore, an abundance of revelation has been given to the lighthouse. We do have an abundance of revelation. If I listen to you guys, I think, what if they really know what you're saying? Because out of your mouth are just flowing such rich things, rich honey. I'm hearing God say, rich honey out of your mouth. You have such deep revelation in there, and God's pulling that. I don't think you understand you have that. You young girls just gave your heart to God. You have deep revelation inside of you from God, and you just need to let God pour that out. As God puts other people in your life, you all of a sudden you're going to be speaking things. You say, wow, where'd that come from? God had that in you. And the enemy had it bound up. But once you give your heart to God, then it all flows out. It just flows out. All right, spiritual thunder accompanies revelation, and it really represents new revelation. Revelation 6:1 said, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.'" God is appealing to his people, saying, if there is revelation, where is it coming from? Not from man. True revelation comes from God and no place else. That is why he tells us to look at the spiritual thunder and lightning. This is something beyond the realm of man. How many times has God said to us, come up hither? God is saying, come and see, the excitement is in the heavens. He's just been showing me heaven, really. And they're just having a good time up there. They're just a busy, buzzing around, getting things prepared for the second coming of Jesus. And you know, and trying to, you know, the angels are wanting to bring all that revelation to us. They're having an exciting time. They're not up there singing sweet lullabies. They're up there just really rejoicing and having a good time. Excuse me. God has been preparing their king priest. Excuse me. There has never been a more exciting time in church history than the time we live in today. I don't know about you, but I feel very honored to be the final group before Jesus returns to this earth and begins to use us as his kings and priests. Most of God's people have gone to sleep spiritually, but the Lighthouse Church cannot. God is going to continue to give us revelation. He is giving us thunder and lightning like nobody has ever received in the history of man. Thunder is going to keep coming and coming from the thundering throne room of God until we are seated in the places with God. Now, you can read Revelation chapter 3. It's talking about the churches. Let's go back where it says thunder represents new revelation. New revelation that could save God's people. And lightning is a light from God's throne room. God's very elect see the lightning and hear the thunder. I just repeated what I said at the beginning. This is total excitement time for the church. This church. I don't know what anybody else is doing. But God is leading us into a place that we've been begging him to lead us into. And the enemy has been fighting us tooth and nail, trying to keep us from going where we've been asking God to take us. Now, the Holy Spirit's been, those who are really, really, really hungry and thirsty for the deep things of God, God is pouring himself out on those people like never before. Now, if you're not one that God's pouring out on like never before, then there's something in you that is still not hungry enough for God. There's something in you, you know, that's still keeping you separated from the holiness of God. And this is what he said, and the purity of God and the revelation he's trying to pour into you. Some of you said here, you know, you're about as worldly can get as far as doing worldly things, you know, businesses or something. If you would just totally submit yourself to God 100%, whatever business you're in or whatever you're doing, God will multiply that thing. He'll magnify himself in that thing, and it will multiply. But he won't do that until you're totally, completely submitted to him. A lot of people say, I'm crazy. That's fine. They said Jesus was crazy. But I'm telling you, this is an exciting time to live in. You know, and I know that just about everybody in the church has an infirmity. And I've been crying out to God every day, God, please bring your healing back into the church. You know, because he has been saying, I'm bringing the healing back into the churches. But I don't see it here. And that's my constant cry. And it's not for myself either, even though I need healing. It's for all those people, guys, that God, show yourself strong to these people so their faith will grow. I mean, I know what God can do. I've been partaker of all that. But some of you have not. Most of you have not. How many in here is raised to dead? Animal and human. See, you have been partaker of that, and I have. And I've seen miracles. How many you've seen, you know, people just instantly heal just like that of all kind of cancers and things? How many of you seen legs straightened that were bent and twisted? See, I've been partaker of all that. And I know what God can do, and I know what he's promised me. But I want him to do it to you all so that you understand the power and the magnitude of God's miracles. But, you know, God said that the signs and wonders aren't for the church or for the unsaved. So, you know, don't be wanting signs and wonders. Just ask God just to drop his healing. Well, that is a sign and a wonder, but you know, don't be constantly saying, you know, we need signs and wonders. No, we need healed from the inside out. We need heal, and then God will work on our infirmities. And when I say you need healed from the inside out, I mean you need to get healed of all the dumb stuff that's in there. Get all that garbage, you know, moved out. I remember one time God came through and said, I'm cleansing you from the inside out. But did you really get cleansed from the inside out? Are you still carrying around demonic darkness? Then you weren't cleansed from the inside out some way, somehow. You just didn't get it. I don't understand God's ways. I don't even pretend to. But I do know that God is a miracle-working God. And I do know, you know, as I watch Barbara and I watch Alan and Grace, because those are just three that I've been watching for a while, that what God has promised them is coming to pass. And they are walking in miracles. They are getting deep revelation. And some of you others are too. I know what Astrid is too. But, you know, what I'm saying is everybody in here should be walking in that. So if you know, okay, so if you don't have that deep revelation, that's the altar call tonight, this morning. You want to come up, you want that deep revelation from God? You want God to show, take you up into the third heaven? I think he talked about the third heaven this morning in the prophetic word, didn't he? He's constantly, and I looked, and he's been saying three different prophetic words I have where he said just about the same identical thing. And so God means what he's saying. Are you going to be partaker? You can come up, the altar's open, and God's going to touch you so you can get that deep revelation knowledge that you need. You know, don't let somebody else destroy your faith. Please don't do that.